Good morning, church. My name is Matt. I'm a student leader here at RCC, and I'm so excited to be here. This week, we start a new series called God Never Said That. It's in our theme of courageous, and we're talking about things that God never said. This week, we're talking about how God never said it would be easy. God never said it would be easy to follow him, and to be honest, it's pretty hard. Every day, I struggle to not make this about me, to not make this walk with God about me. It isn't about the feeling we get when we leave church. It isn't about the looks or praise that we get when we help someone who's in need. It's about him. Following Jesus is about Jesus. Not following ourselves or the person that we think is cooler than us. Not the image that our favorite celebrity keeps up. Not the ideas we think we have to support just because we like who said them. It's not the person on Facebook or Instagram that we're jealous of. We serve, we give, we pray, and we tithe, and not a single bit of it should be about us. Following Jesus is about Jesus. 2,000 years ago, we get an amazing example of what this is supposed to look like. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down to the people and gives everyone who believed the courage and boldness to act under God's will. At the time, the social order was just about the most important thing in your life. What you did and where you were from defined who you were in society. And despite this, the people who followed Jesus lived differently. Acts 2 tells us that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with the awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Verse 47 tells us the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The early church was an all-inclusive megachurch filled with more diversity and cultures than you could count. They accomplished incredible things together. The disciples did miracles and the church grew exponentially because people weren't afraid of getting uncomfortable. People weren't afraid of doing life with people society thought were lesser. They weren't worried about going against the norm of their culture or even being persecuted or killed. The early church knew it would be easy, and yet they still wouldn't be easy, and yet they still devoted themselves daily to the will of God. I've seen this evident in my own life and how I came to know God. Now, earlier I introduced myself as Matt, student leader at RCC, but I haven't always been a part of the church. About 3 years ago, my friend and neighbor Spencer invited me to RCC's Sunday night youth group called Reach. I started going, and I was there for a few months until I slowly stopped going. Then about a year and a half ago, another one of my friends invited me to his church. That summer, I went to something called a live camp where a pastor named Tyson gave a message I'll never forget. In his message, he pulled out a string like this, and he said, "This string represents time. This little part right here represents our time on earth, and everything else represents our time after we die." Now, I'm so thankful that this isn't all we get, but the point of his message was to focus on this little part. The small part, even though we know the greatness and longevity of God, we still find a way to make this about us, this little part compared to the whole string. After Tyson finished, the band played a song called I Thank God. If you haven't heard it, you should definitely listen to it. But some of the lyrics go like this. "He picked me up, he turned me around, he placed my feet on solid ground. The Lord picked me up, he turned me around from the sinful way I'd been living, and he placed my feet on solid ground." That night was when I realized that the youth group thing I'd been attending wasn't just about me having fun. It was about something greater, something that truly mattered, something that made this little part mean something. Am I glad that God found me? Absolutely. But my favorite part of this story isn't about me. It's about those two guys, Spencer and Ryan, who invited me to their church and pursued me without a fear of being rejected or looked down on. And instead, they knew that following Jesus isn't about being easy or comfortable, but instead about bringing as many people back to the relationship we were designed for, our relationship with God. But there's this crazy thing that happens called life that causes us to take our eyes off this goal. We all have something in our life, good and bad, that distracts us from our goals. When you introduce yourself, what's the title you give yourself? Is it firefighter, doctor, teacher, husband, wife? None of those things are bad, and I'm honestly thankful for all of them. But what if we introduce ourselves as followers of Jesus? What if we made every thought, action, and word about him? The other day I was in the gym with my friends, and during one of our sets, this lady comes up to us and we just had a conversation about music or something, and it lasted a decent amount of time. But when it was over, we maybe stayed in the gym for 5 more minutes before we left. Now, when we went in the gym, our goal was to work out, but an easier thing came along that took our eyes off our initial goal. Part of working out is going through some pain so your body can grow. And that pain is a little uncomfortable and definitely not easy. So when an easy out came in the form of a random conversation, me and my friend threw our discipline out the window. The conversation wasn't bad, wasn't sinful or anything like that, but it was our inability to fix our eyes on the goal that was bad. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Church, we have our goal and we have our example set out 2,000 years ago. So let's push aside all things good and bad that hinder Jesus taking control, and let's allow him to come take the wheel of our life. Now, if we look back to the early church, just 60 years after all those miracles and things took place, people fall away. Jesus calls out a large number of these people who have become distracted by sexual morality, false teaching, and many other things. He said to those people, "Because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." Those spiritually dead allow their foundation to be destroyed. We can't allow that to happen to us. All those people in my life that led me toward God had a strong, solid foundation that they wouldn't allow to be moved. They didn't allow distractions to hinder the eternal goal that was set. Being lukewarm is not having a solid foundation. When the Lord encountered me, he picked me up and he placed my feet on solid ground. Not just ground of movable mud or sand or weak things like that, but solid ground, a firm, hard foundation. And with that foundation, he gave me a greater purpose than I'd ever witnessed. Lukewarmness is being without purpose. Lukewarmness is not being 100% for God. Lukewarmness is only giving your Sundays to Jesus. Jesus doesn't just want part of us. He doesn't just want us while we're at church. He wants us every day, all year. That means getting comfortable with the uncomfortable. That means denying ourselves daily and choosing his will over our desires until our desires align with his will. Imagine if every believer in this room, in Clay County, in Florida, lived like this. Imagine the incredible things we could accomplish for God. We can't be comfortable with a lukewarm faith. And I know from experience that picking what I want is easier. But God never said it would be easy. Thank you.
Good morning, RCC. My name is Shelby, and I'm a junior at Ridgeview High School, and I was a part of a Sunday-only faith. I used to go to church on Sundays with my family, and then the rest of the week, it wouldn't even cross my mind. And you might have heard of a Sunday-only faith before, but God has other plans, like putting someone in your life that shows you that. And there's just something spiritual about Cracker Barrel. I was just trying to get a paycheck to save up for a car, and God put a Chris in my life. Chris is my manager at Cracker Barrel, and here's a story about him. The night before I left for church camp, me and my best friend Savannah decided to go surprise our best friend Haley while she was working. Our families met up, and we got the warmest welcome from Chris and Haley and everyone else that was working that night. So Haley sits us, we get our food, and Chris sits down with our table and starts making relationships with our family and was just talking to God about God and about the church and just pouring into our family and making relationships with us. And me and Savannah were like, wow, like this is what it looks like for someone to love Jesus like so greatly and like out loud and not ashamed of it. So like, what if we asked if they were hiring? So we did, and he was like, oh, put in an application, like, we'll see, like, if it's, like, a good fit. So once we got back from church camp, we put in our applications, and we ended up getting an interview the same day, the same time, and we're sat across from each other at two different tables in awkward silence. We ended up getting the job, and we've all had such a great relationship with Chris ever since, and leading up to this day, me and Chris have been so excited because it just shows how much God has worked in both of our lives. And I serve here for 5-6, where we lead 5th and 6th graders in lessons and small groups, teaching them all about God's greatness. And Chris is constantly asking me what I taught, how it went, how youth group was, and is constantly talking to customers about God's greatness whenever he gets the chance. And you can really just see God's love and light in him. And God putting Chris in my life has not only shown me how to keep my faith throughout the week, but what it looks like to be the church of right now. As a follower of Christ, we are ambassadors of the gospel. Where we go, we carry the name of Jesus. And Paul reminds us that whatever you do in the word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Imagine if someone followed you around for a day. Would they see Jesus in your actions, words, and responses? Would they notice something different, something that reflects the light of Christ? Our words, choices, and love are supposed to reflect the one who saved us. Jesus said himself, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." But sometimes we forget how weightless and beautiful that responsibility is. Jesus says in Matthew 11:30, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Representing Jesus isn't about striving in our own strength, but about abiding in him. So as ambassadors, live with intentionality, because our lives may be the only Bible some people ever read. Life is busy and schedules are full, and without intentionality, we can fall into a Sunday-only faith. We sing and serve for a few hours, then leave the building and forget the mission. But Christianity isn't about sitting in chairs. It's about this new thing God is doing. Worshiping throughout the week, reading God's word, and being the church. Let your Sunday be every day by letting your life preach the gospel all week. James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." At RCC, we have signs at exits that say, "Go change the world." But is that truly your mission Monday through Saturday? Are you praying for the lost, serving your neighbors, and discipling others? Be the friend that Jesus is to you. He loves us unconditionally, and he forgives us, and he's with us no matter what. Jesus didn't call us to make converts. He called us to make disciples. Matthew 28:19 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." God has given each believer spiritual gifts to build up the church and impact the world. 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 7 says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work." Discovering and using our spiritual gifts is a part of stepping into your identity in Christ. When each of us plays our part, the church flourishes and communities are transformed. Our mission isn't just carried by one person, it's shared. Imagine if every member of RCC truly unleashed their gifts for the kingdom. What would change in Clay County? We are not waiting to be the church of tomorrow. We are the church of right now. And our mission is clear: win people to Christ, train believers, and unleash disciples into the world.
Good morning, RCC. My name is Leah, and I am a senior at Fleming Island High School. And I want to start off by telling you guys some things that I've experienced. So I've noticed that the church isn't like anything else built on earth. The church was not built by man, and it is not bound together by age, race, or culture. The church is a body, and it is a body made up of redeemed people. And I think that's just awesome. Revelation 7, verse 9 says, "After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands." I love this verse so much because it paints this picture so perfectly of a walk of people from every area in life coming together to worship our one true God. And this just goes to remind me that the church is alive. The church is not a Sunday event or a building. The church is people. The church is people in a movement, and those people are you and me. Throughout scripture, God uses so many different people of many ages. We see David was a teenager when he faced Goliath. If you don't know who Goliath is, he was a giant. David was really small though. We see Mary was a teenager when she gave birth to the Messiah. The Messiah is our savior of our world, but Mary was so young. On the other hand of this, we see Sarah was 90 years old when God called her to give birth to Isaac. And this just goes to show that God doesn't wait for us to be ready. No, God doesn't wait for us to be old enough, young enough, mature enough, whatever boundary we've made in our head. God says no. God uses surrendered people right now. Romans 12, verses 4 through 8 says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, and give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." So these verses tell us that the church is like a body, and any body has different parts. In the body, every part has a job. Every job has a purpose. Your purpose isn't to sit on the sidelines. Jesus Christ did not die for us so that we could spectate what everybody else is doing. Every believer has been given unique gifts, and these gifts weren't given to us so that we could compete with each other, but to perfectly complete each other for the kingdom. I want to tell you guys a story about when me and my brother first came to RCC. We were terrified, and I promise you, we didn't want to be here. And I bring it up because maybe some of you feel like that. Maybe it's your first time to church today. Maybe it's your first time in a while. Maybe you come every week, but you don't want to be here. And that's okay. But we don't know what to expect. We don't know who to talk to. We don't know what to wear. We're scared. I felt the same way, but I promise you, I'm here to tell you it gets better. We had just moved from Colorado, and our mom was like, "You got to try it once." And I was like, "Yo, get out, bruh. I don't want to do this." No. But I walked in, and we were welcomed by three amazing people. And these people were ready to show their gifts. These people were being servants of the Lord. These people were Ella Rodriguez, Austin Toole, and Emma Knight. And they changed my view on youth groups. Austin is so great at welcoming new people, and he did it perfectly when he noticed me and my brother were new. Ella is great at inviting people. She invited us to CIY, and I thought she was insane. We had just moved here, and she expected me to go to another state for a church camp with no one I knew. I ended up going, and I absolutely loved it, but I did think she was a little whack. But Emma has such a kind heart and soul, and she made us feel so loved and welcome in that moment. Because of these three and so many other people, there hasn't been a week that I'm not with them or talking to them. And this just goes to show that when you use your gifts, it's not for yourself. It's for other people, and it's for God's glory. So I want to bring value to each of you. Use that gift that God gave you. Don't use it to compare with other people. Use it to work for God. If every single one of us had the same gifts, we'd be robots, and parts of our church would be so empty. If every single one of us was great at worship, then who would serve our kids team? And if every single one of us were so good at serving kids team, then who would welcome people in the morning? Right, I think you get what I'm trying to say. No matter what your gift is, every single one of us is called to serve, grow, love, disciple, and obey. And some of you may be saying, "Cool, that's great and all, but what do I do?" Well, Jesus calls us to be a partner with him, a partner to serve this mission of saving the world, but to be a partner with God. We cannot come to this building every week, sit in the same chairs, and leave with the same habits and heart posture. Our heart posture is our attitude and our willingness to live out God's will, and I promise you, that has to change if we're going to work with God. Of course, serving happens in the church. We need people to serve in our church, but our mission happens when we take a step out of RCC, when we're kind and expect nothing in return, when we love even though we know that nobody's watching us, and when we share and resemble Jesus in our work, school, and families. When I think about the encounters that I've personally had with God, I think of three words. I think of love, community, and safety. And because of this, I can't treat people the same. I can't go around my life acting like I have no idea who God is. It makes me change, and I pray the same for each and every one of you. I pray that we can all go around radiating the Lord and showing other people how great a relationship with God can really be. And this is because you were saved with a purpose. Your life has a value in God's kingdom, and your gifts are needed. So whether you're serving your community or you're serving the church, we have to do it with our whole heart so that we can all see the gospel move forward in Clay County. I want you to consider the person that brought you to Christ. I want to ask you something. Did they have a big role in a church? Now, for some of us, they did, and this is great. But for a lot of us, it was a friend, a family member, a stranger, maybe something online. And the thing is, that person was just being obedient to the Lord. That person was being a servant, and it goes to show that you don't need a big role in a dusty building to talk about God. No, what you need is a heart that burns for Jesus, and you need a willingness to live that out. But the coolest thing is that none of this is forced upon us. None of this is something we have to do. Rather, this is something we get to do. And we get to do this together. It's a privilege to work for the God that created everything. It is a privilege to work with Jesus to change the very place that we live, Clay County. Ephesians 2 verses 8 through 9 reminds us that salvation is a gift and nothing we ever do is going to earn it for us. But then James 2:17 says, faith without works is dead. When I first read this, I was like, yo, that doesn't go together. What's going on? It doesn't make sense, right? But it does make sense. Faith without works is dead. That means if your faith is real, it's going to change the way you live. If your faith is real, your life will testify it. Your life will testify his death, burial, and resurrection. We'll see people be baptized in his name, and we'll live every single day for God's glory. Because you were made for more than sitting in a chair on a Sunday. You were made to be part of something eternal. So if you remember nothing else, I want you to hear this. This is not meant to be a Sunday thing. This is a lifestyle. This is a lifestyle of obedience, love, service, and kingdom purpose, and it takes every single one of us. So together as a church, let's return to our first true love. Let's preach the gospel, not just with the things we do, but with the things we say. And let's embrace our role in the body of Christ. Matt told us earlier that following Jesus isn't going to be easy, right? But it is so worth it. So I don't want you to doubt. Don't doubt your role. God wants to use you right now, not just in this church, but wherever you go. So let's be that church that moves.
Well, good morning, RCC. My name is Mike Keebaugh. I serve as your high school youth pastor. Can we give one more round of applause for our students? Amen. Amen. Well, Angola Prison was a maximum security place where people who had done the worst things imaginable were thrown in. Lock the door, twist the key, put it away. This was the place where people who were serving life sentences and death penalty sentences were put in. But here's the truth. God practices the business of taking dead things and bringing them back to life. And Angola had just hired a new warden, and this warden was a strong follower of Jesus. But this warden was put into the process of administering the death penalty upon a person, and God used this moment to stir something within him. So as justice was administered, as this man passed from life into death, the warden went home feeling troubled, and God's spirit began to stir something in him where he asked this dangerous question. This man who I ushered into eternity, did he know Jesus or not? And God used that uncomfortableness to do something radical. And so this warden, knowing that he played such a large role in this prison, decided, well, then I'm going to start a series of Bible studies. And wouldn't you believe it? When God stirred in his heart and called him into that service that God had already been working out, people's lives started to change in a prison. Men and women who you would otherwise throw away and forget about started professing Christ as their Lord and Savior, being baptized. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, because God is in the business of taking dead things and raising them back to life. And wouldn't you believe it? In Angola State Prison, there were 9 different congregations started because men and women trusted in Christ. Are you with me? Not enough to say that, but a theological seminary started hearing how men and women were being equipped and called to lead the church inside of this prison. And so they launched a satellite campus at Angola State Prison. And men and women are called to be pastors. People on death row all of a sudden are becoming missionaries and pastors and deacons. This place of death and hopelessness is radiating with the power of the gospel. And then the prisoners start asking this dangerous question. Hey, warden, can you send me to other maximum security prisons so I can lead Bible studies the same way it was done for me? And wardens begin calling all over the country, asking, what is happening at Angola? And here's the truth. That story, it amazes us, it excites us. But it all happened because God's Spirit stirred somebody and called them into the work that God had already begun. But that warden had to say yes to the invitation. And the same is true of you and me. Because God never said it would be easy to follow Jesus. In fact, Paul writes to Timothy, anyone who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Jesus promised this, if you follow him the way you're supposed to, that you will be persecuted, that you will be dragged before courts, that you will have to give a reason for the hope you profess, and people will slander, lie, and maybe even kill you. But the truth is, no one can steal that joy from you of seeing God's power change and transform lives. Amen? But it's going to be hard. Really, really hard. And you're sitting in a seat today because somebody was faithful and someone before them was faithful and somebody before them was faithful for the past 2,000 years. And we're not waiting to be the church of tomorrow because we are the church right here, right now. We are ambassadors of Jesus and living examples of what it looks like when God, who is in the business of taking dead things and raising them to life, calls us into fellowship with his son. And that's the reality we live in. And we're not going to buy into this cultural lie that church is just a Sunday thing, are we? Because we know this is a lifestyle, because Jesus' church was never built by a man, and it's not bound by age or race or culture or preference. It is the embodiment of life transforming power because of Jesus Christ. And that's why we are here. And we come here to be encouraged and to be challenged. But the truth, brothers and sisters, is the mission field starts right when you head out those double doors to go change the world. And you come back here to be encouraged. So I want to end with a story. Napoleon, who you know to be a famous general, surveyed tons and tons of battles. But in this particular scene, he watches from his watchtower as his battlemen are being cut down and defeated. And he has to make a call. Do we sound the charge or do we retreat? And so Napoleon calls forth one of his little drummer boys and he makes the call, sound retreat, sound retreat. And the little boy is called forward to play and he stands before Napoleon almost speechless, a lump in his throat. Sound retreat. But the little boy still did not play and Napoleon shouts to him, why won't you play the song? And the boy tells Napoleon, you never taught us how to sound retreat. And so Napoleon decides, then sound the charge. Sound the charge. And where the battle was being lost, his men rallied because they thought reinforcements were on the way. And wouldn't you have it? It wasn't because of military might. It wasn't because of a decisive strategy that they won the battle that day. It was because a little boy didn't know how to sound retreat. And brothers and sisters, you and I are called to be the embodiment of the hope of Jesus here in Clay County, to enter people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus. And we don't get to sound retreat. It's going to be hard. God never said it would be easy, but the promise, it is worth it. And just like at Angola, God's Spirit may be calling you today, stirring something within you that makes you uncomfortable, that says, if it's going to come down to one person to change this place, let it be me and my family and my workplace where I have my hobbies. Whatever that is, God's calling you to make a life-changing impact. But it's going to be hard, but I promise you, it'll be worth it. Let's pray. God, Gracious Heavenly Father, you are a good and loving God. And Father, we thank you that we can come together to celebrate, God, what you've been doing for thousands of years of taking dead people and bringing them back to life, Father, of taking broken things and restoring them by the good news of Jesus. And Lord, we stand together in your presence, encouraged that Clay County needs the hope of Christ. But Lord, you're stirring within us a call that if it just takes one of us, Father, may we be the one who steps forward in boldness. May we be world changers because of what Jesus did for us. And God, thank you that you allow us to share in the sufferings of your Son. Thank you, God, that you allow us to participate in this new thing of the kingdom of God. And Father, may we be grateful. May we consider it all joy, especially as we leave this place today. And all God's people said, amen.